So we're going to start off, the first week of the year we're going to do is going to be about Hanachas Tefillin. What I actually like about this is, A, you guys are all familiar with it, because you do it daily, hopefully. B, it's also nice, because there's actually a bunch of little tiny areas, like discrete areas, which you'll see are interesting. For instance, we'll take up some of the, we'll take up some of the, bifurcate. We'll take up some of the more famous questions of, like, someone who's righty versus lefty, ambidextrous, all these fun little cases. So you'll see, it's good. It's a good introductory sugya to do, I think. Okay, so let's start with the Gemara on Laman Hama Beis. Our objective right now is Rafi's going to be reading. Okay, I'm going to stop you at a certain point and say, "Now what?" And you're going to say, "Oh, here are the following questions I have in this piece of Gemara. Here are the problems I have." Okay.
So translate as I go.
Yes. Okay. Translate as you go. Okay. Okay. All right. Starting from Avraham of Shmuel, you're up.
So this guy says,
no, it's good. He's good. I like that. See, I do the same thing. Don't get so caught up in who's who, okay? It's X and Y. It doesn't matter, okay? So what do you say?
Amar Rav, Sky Rav says, Omri Le says to, right, he says that Amar, he's quoting this guy, Amar Rav Acha.
Amar Rav Huna. So, no, some want to say A said it, some want to say B said it. Doesn't matter. Okay.
Acha Aricha, Amar Rav, Huna, Amar Le.
Menashe Amar Shmuel. Okay, so if you distill it out, we have Rav and Shmuel. Okay, now what do they say? Okay. Here it comes.
Still in Amitai, Rav, sorry. So from when do you say, or when do you say the bracha on tefillin, Olei Mishat, and Achaton, from the time that they're like on your arm?
Stop. Okay. Seems pretty innocuous. Is it? Okay, well, first of all, what's the first question you need to ask? What? Oh, what bracha? Okay, good. Now, okay, I'm going to give you... What? Okay, that's the better question. First question is not a good question. You know why? Why is the first question not a good question? Because the bracha of Al Mitzvah Tefillin, which most Ashkenazim make on Tefillin Shel Rosh, is something that, as you'll see, big question whether we say it or not. The real question is, Hanacha can apply... Okay, what does Hanacha mean literally?
Placing.
Okay. That can apply to what? Either, right? Okay. Fine. But we know the Gemara is going to force us into saying that it's going to be talking about the yad, okay? Meaning, because there's no idea of a kshira, you don't tie the rosh, right? But again, they're both hanachad, right? There's a hanacha of the yad and hanacha of the rosh. But what's the difference between how they're both placed? When it comes to the yad, what do you have to do? You have to tighten it, right? And rosh, what do? Place it, okay? You'll see why it gets a little tricky later on, okay? But for now, let's focus on the yad, okay? But good, you're right, okay? Keep going, Rafi. One other question. So when do you make the bracha? Mishas anachasa. Okay, now, without cheating ahead, we know there's a principle that exists in Gemara. I gave a Shavuot shir on this a few years ago. It's a great shir, I think, on over lasiasa, which is, we know there's a general principle in halacha. I have an apple in my hands. I want to eat the apple. What do I do first? Make the bracha. I have a lulav sitting on a table. Before I pick up the lulav, what do? You always make a bracha before you do the action. What's the famous exception? Netil Zadayim, okay? And even on Netil Zadayim, you don't wait till afterwards because people make that mistake. They think that's the violation of Over Lasiyasa, and it's not. When do you make the bracha of, if you don't hold like the Rambam, when do you make the bracha of Netil Zadayim? Drying hands. Because some want to say that's still before you completed the action. Good. Okay, but for now, there's a general clause, Over Lasiyasa. So what's the Gemara saying? When else would you make the bracha? Of course you're going to make the bracha of Laniach Tefillin when? Before you do Hanachas Tefillin. When else would you make it? Right? There's no other point in time you make it other than before Hanachas Tefillin. Right? Okay, so what does the Gemara say? Eini. So what does Eini mean? You have to start learning how to, the tone. It's like, this is how you say Eini. Eini? Okay, now the way I said it in that tone, what does that indicate? Eini means it's like, what the? Are you serious? This is crazy, right? Gemara says, Baha.
Yes. Amar Rav Yehuda, so he says, Amar Shmuel says, Kol mitzvot kolam merech lai over lasiyasa.
Right. Okay. Now, why is that? Again, we're not defining anything here. Just got to get the mechanics down. In other words, what's the Gemara at this point? What's the Gemara really asking? What's bothering the Gemara?
How can you
Okay, good. Right? You're going to say that? Okay, yeah, yeah. In other words, again, what's the bracha that you make? Laniach tefillin. Okay, I ask you, without knowing what the Gemara now says afterwards, okay, when you make the bracha of laniach tefillin and hanachas tefillin, right, mishas hanachasan, that sounds like when? Oh, good, when you put on your arm. But 1 second, you got a problem, because when it's on my arm, what's already happened? The action. The action. The mitzvah has been completed. How can you make the bracha anymore? Oh, that's the next question that I was going to say. At this point, you would say the mitzvah is on the arm. Okay? Simple. Okay?
This is the mitzvah.
Travayo, which means what? Trey, I'm not teaching Vakias here, but Trey is Shnei. Trey means two. Okay, so they say together. Travayo, they say together. Okay. Now you got a serious problem here. Yo, that's very bad. That's very bad. What does that literally mean? From the time of Hanacha. Okay, now let's be more precise. Except for one problem. There's a big difference. That's not true. Except the Rambam holds that Netilah is the washing is the Maisa, not the drying. Who's we? Never use we. Bad word to use in a shear. That's different. We, you, and we. What? It's not a rule. Should be a rule. Never say we. I've actually, by the point that Rafi's trying to push, which is fine, okay, is that we have something called Hanacha, which again, let's be simple. Hanacha sounds like the moment it's, let's say, on your arm, okay, and Ad Shas Kshira, which sounds like, what are you doing? Fastening it. Right, fastening. Okay. Okay. Now, but of course, the fact that, now, let's take a step back. Now, let's understand, what question should we ask at this point? Now, let's take a step back, and now taking a look at what we just went through sequentially, what should we ask on the Gemara? Go ahead, Grizzly. The general question which you have to get used to asking is like this. I'm a firm believer in the idea that the Gemara doesn't waste ink, okay? Meaning, the Gemara takes us down a path. It says, when do you make the bracha? Mishas anachasam. Then the Gemara asks a question. But what about overlas yasam? Then the Gemara says, no, I meant to say this. If the Gemara meant to say something, then why does it tell us the original way of learning? Okay? You understand that? In other words, let's say I told you, let's say you're reading a book, right? And I write a sentence that's very vague, right? And then it can be interpreted in multiple ways. And you ask the question on the book, how can we be writing it this way? And the author transmits a new message and says, no, I meant to say this. So then just say this. Why does the Gemara have to tell us that first possibility of Mishas Anachasam? No, it's just qualifying the statement. But what Joel's asking is the more precise question, okay? Okay, the problem's like this. What's the bracha you make on tefillin? But what does this sound like the Iker thing is? Shira. Right. Shouldn't the bracha be Likshor tefillin? It sounds like the tightening of the tefillin on the arm is the actual, right? Is the actual action. And yet the... What? Oh, is that the cheat move? We know what the bracha is. You have to go into knowing. We know that the Gemara is going to say it, but that's the bracha. Everyone agrees that's the bracha. Yes, Asher. Okay. So we know, now you guys are all familiar with this, right? Please tell me. The old issue, I put on my tefillin shel yad, and what do? I talk. Now, to be clear, I talk about a football game, okay? Not something that had to do with Hilchos tefillin. So Joel puts on his tefillin shel yad and wants to talk about the Green Bay Packers. What's the halakha? Okay, the Gemara says, Chozer Mevarach. Now, hold on. Chozer Mevarach what? Really? No, you could be right. Okay, good. So, right, I agree. What do you? Sounds that way, right? Sounds like what would you do? You would go back and make Laniach tefillin again, okay? But that doesn't mean, but based on that reasoning, right? But that doesn't mean I'd have to do what? Take off my tefillin shel yad? That can't be. Right, which is odd. Strange. Right, so one second. So what did I do? I said, Laniach tefillin, put on my tefillin shel yad. So, meaning what? Meaning you would... So therefore, you're saying we return back to the non-tefillin state that you're... Okay. Could be. Okay. I'm just trying to show you these are all valid issues. You have to be perceptive in what the Gemara is trying to get across. Yeah. That's true. But if you're telling me you want to make laniach tefillin again, right? So, what? Should you put on your tefillin again? Or I'll take Mati, what Mati's asking, and rephrase it. In other words, is the laniach tefillin going on both Yad and Rosh? You guys have been putting on tefillin for quite some time. You all think there's a separate bracha you make on tefillin for Rosh. You're wrong. All right? You'll soon see. You're wrong. Yeah.
If you don't talk to your tree, you don't say you're real.
Oh, okay.
So clearly the hanacha tefillin.
Sach in.
Sach in, low, sach.
Low. Sach in means what?
Yes.
Okay, good. So meaning, right, if I interrupt, yes. Right? If I don't, no. Okay? So where it says, V'ha. Rav Chiya sent. Rav Chiya Berei Derav sent. Huna, Mishmei, blah, blah. Omer. Beautiful. So why is this Akasha? Okay, just factually, the Gemara is saying, but one second, we see that what happened, that there are two brachas you make on tefillin. One's on tefillin shel Yad, and one's on tefillin shel Rosh, right? Why is this Akasha? These are just facts. We're not explaining anything. Even better. Even stronger than that. Okay, good. Better. So it's even simpler than that. Simpler. That's not bad, but no. Nice try. Exactly. The Gemara seems to be saying that no matter what do I do? Well, I always make an al mitzvah tefillin on my Rosh. Mimar of Shach. The first Gemara is telling me that when do I make, what? Again, the first Gemara is saying, if I interrupt, what do? I go back and make a bracha. The second Gemara is saying that, it seems to be saying that regardless, I always make two brachas on tefillin. One on Yad, one shel Rosh. So how do I resolve this? Okay. Abayi v'arava d'armi travayu. Go, Rafi. Travayo. Oh, okay. What does that mean? Okay, please be quiet. Please tell me this should raise tremendous problems. What is the problem with the Gemara saying right now? Oh, good. Yes, the second bracha is not mitzvah tefillin. Correct. No. So Gemara is saying I can fuse the two Gemaras together. Whereas when we say if I don't interrupt, I only make a laniach tefillin. But if I do interrupt, right, then I have to make an al mitzvah tefillin.
Then that means okay. That the second bracha is functionally useless unless you're talking.
It's like the first.
That's my man over there. Very good. In other words, what kind of bracha exists that if I mess up, what happens? I make a bracha. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. How could you have a bracha like this? How could you have a bracha? Think about the institution of this bracha here. This bracha is a bracha that comes to existence because I messed something up. And Oren, what's fascinating about this bracha? You're not even saying laniach. You're saying amitzos filin. Even though I'm doing what? I'm kind of doing a hanacha, right? This is the form for hanacha, by the way. I'll accept that for now. This is also one of those discrete sugyas I'm talking about. We're going to get into the sugya of the bracha. But he's right. Oren's that's a little aggressive, but I agree. In other words, Oren's saying, well, let me ask you a question. What's the better bracha here? Al mitzvah tefillin. The only problem what you're saying is that in halacha, al mitzvah is usually used as like a fail-safe bracha. But you're right. In other words, again, miman hashach, either the bracha should be al mitzvah tefillin or should be al niyach tefillin. But what kind of thing is this? And what kind of thing is to say that I was over an isser, as you'll see in a second, and I make a bracha as a result? Okay, you're almost done, Rafi. Tana. Okay, so if someone does what? If someone talks purposely between his film Shion and Rosh, what is it? It's an Avera. Uh-oh. That's a big X. Okay? And what happens? Okay, so you've got... it's coming up in this week's Parsha. All right? Shoftim. So what happens at the end of this week's Parsha for the guys who do Shnai Mikra? At the end of this week's Parsha, hold on, Asher. At the end of this week's Parsha, what happens? So there's the announcement that's made to the soldiers, okay? Right, so you sent, right. So what kind of people can't go out? People who are afraid, right, good, good. And one of them is an Avarian, okay? A sinner. Sinners don't go to war. Okay, so what the Gemara is saying is that if somebody purposely talks between their Tzelos Yon, Tzelos Harosh, right, they're over Navera, and they can't even go out to war. What's strange about this? Oh, okay, more precise, what do you mean? What do you mean? But in general, if a guy's an Avarian, if a guy's a sinner, he can't go out to war. He can't, okay. But what's strange about this? What? Let's say I saw you come by and I wasn't paying attention. I said hi. All right, but the point is, the guy's got to be careful and not talk between the Tzvon Shion, Tzvon Zerosh. Yeah. Right. Okay. What do you mean Avera Hibiyada? Calm down. Right. I mean, relax. Don't talk between Tzvon Shion, Tzvon Zerosh. But Avera Hibiyada.
Also, it's an Avera that results in like. Not is it a Vera, but then we have a way to fix it.
What do you mean by fix it? Oh, yes, that's true. That's true. Correct.
And then, but it's a very serious Vera.
Good. Okay. So what do we see from the Gemara? So everyone's on the same page, okay? Okay. Gemara says, when do you make the bracha of Laniach Tfilin Mishas Hanachasa? Okay, at the time of, in quotes, Hanacha, placing it, I guess, right? Okay, Gemara says, one second, what about Overlas Yasan? Don't you have to make the bracha before you do the Maisa, before you do the action? Gemara says, no, you're right. Rather, when you make the bracha, from the time of Hanacha until Kshira, okay? Meaning, literally, from the time I place it on my arm until I tie it. And we said before, that's odd, because it sounds like Kshira is really the Iker. Right? Isn't tying it the Iker? Seems that way. So why do you make Laniach Tfilin? All right, so what do you say? How do we make sense of this Gemara here? In other words, we're making up the bracha for Tfilin, okay? And we know the bracha is Laniach Tfilin. Let's just say somehow we know through some divine inspiration it has to be Laniach Tfilin. So if I ask you, if you're going to formulate the bracha, okay, when would you say, and again, the principle is Mishas, over Lasiasan, before you do the action, when would you say you should make the bracha?
Before you put on
Tovah. Then you didn't answer the question. What do you mean before you put them on? When is that point of before I put them on?
You're unwrapping it from the box.
Okay. Would really you go that far back or?
Yes.
Really? Okay. Right. I don't know if I go that far back because you still want it to be connected somewhat to the action. But I'd say like this. I'd say the moment I'm involved in Hanacha, when's the earliest point you're involved in putting your tefillin on? Okay, that's good. That's better. That's what I would say. I'd say when you have the loopy thing open and you're starting to put it over here, right? I if it were me forming the bracha, what I would say is Mishas Hanachasan means right before I'm about to do Hanacha. So when would I do it? Right when I'm holding it here. Does anyone disagree? Here. But the problem here is that as long as you can hold it up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not here.
Fine, but it's the same thing. It's the same point. The point is that
no. Well, you want to go as close to the
action. Agreed. Rafi, as a general principle, you always want the bracha exactly. But conceptually, you're right. The point is, it wouldn't be when it's on here before I tie it. It would be above. Okay. That being the case, let's hear some explanations. You had your hand up over there. Just to take what you're saying, if correct me if I'm wrong. In other words, you're gonna have to look at the relationship. I'm not gonna get this far yet. Okay. You have to look at the relationship between what tying is doing to the placing, okay? And I think that's what Yeshua is focusing on. He's focusing on that when it comes to Kshira, right, there's two ways you can look at the relationship between Kshira and Hanacha. That's it. That's all I'll say. Go ahead. Beautiful. Okay? Welcome to your first Svara, okay? That's how you say a Svara. We've now created two logical possibilities. There's two ways you could look at the relationship between Hanacha and Kshira. You could say that what's the mitzvah of tefillin? The mitzvah of tefillin is what you said it beautifully. Say it.
Again?
Yeah.
Oh, the mitzvah is either I'm saying both.
See the first way.
The first way is placing it on my arm. The action of placing it on.
Okay. And therefore, what's Kshira doing when I place it on my arm? What's it doing? Yeah, it's what you call the culmination of Hanacha. There's a culmination of placing is to tighten it, right? But the mitzvah ultimately is Hanacha. Okay. Then when would you make the bracha?
Right before you place it.
Right, which I mean, right it's not on your arm yet. But the other way to say
is that the mitzvah of tefillin is not actually placing it, but having it be placed on your arm.
Okay, it's not a word game, okay? Think about it for a second. According to that, to show you the nafkamina, if I put the tefillin on my arm, okay, someone will come along and say, I may have done an actual placement of tefillin on my arm, but I haven't done hanacha.
But it's not placed.
Right, I haven't done hanacha. Exactly. So the kshira is what makes it meniach. Okay? Exactly. And that's why we learn it's on your arm. That's not, even though it's physically resting on my arm. Physically it is. Right? But until I do kshira, it's not defined as hanacha. Right? That's the other way to learn. What? No, you're saying both.
Those are two options.
Again, we'll take that up also. Okay, we're not ready for that yet. And you're actually, it's a great segue to Tosos, by the way. But the Torah does say, Ukshartem le'os la'yadecha, right? It's funny, it doesn't say, Vehinachtem, right? Good question. Okay, good question. That being the case, that's why Yoshua lines up like the first position in Tosos, right? Do you start Tosos? Right, okay. So now we're going to take up this very strange phenomenon of Rav Eliyahu's position, okay? And we're going to delve into this for the next couple days, okay? Okay. It's a very interesting position, okay? Because if we take the words of the Torah literally, okay, what should the mitzvah be? And therefore, what would you have to do every day? Can you imagine that, by the way? Imagine that was the mitzvah. The mitzvah is every single day, I untie my tefillin shal, we'll forget the rosh for now, untie my tefillin shal yad and tie it, meaning, if you take the Torah at its word, the mitzvah is ukshartem, to do the act of tying, right? So what's this business of hanacha, all right? Who wants to read? You're good reading today? You keep going? Good, good, good. Yeah.
Making the knot of tefillin itself before you even put it on your arm?
Look, ready? Here it comes. Look at Tosfos. Tosfos, mishas hanacha vashas kshira. What did Tosfos say? Sure. Who likes reading Rashi letters? Oh, well, next time. Go ahead, Yoshua. Stop. Okay, sounds wild. Right, now remember, one of the reasons why it sounds wild is because we're so used to doing things a certain way. Okay, as you'll see, Tosos himself later on will kind of try to create a compromise. You didn't read it yet, but you'll see he wants us to do this, but eventually he shows you why we don't. But it makes a lot of sense. What you should be doing, Dardik, I thought you'd like that. What you should be doing every day, right? You're a literalist. The Torah says, ukshartem. It doesn't say putting anything on. So what should the mitzvah be? Every day I take my tefillin out of my tefillin bag, right? I look at my tefillin. I untie it. Baruch Hashem, Shalom, 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 Lik, short tefillin. Tie my tefillin, right? That's true. Okay, good. Okay, okay, good, 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 good. Okay, good, good. Okay. This is a great little piece, okay? You guys have the good chulin sheets? Back to you, Rafi. Is that how it works now? Okay. We're going to go back to Tosos, don't worry.
Kata Shrita, the Mila, needs to know how you write to slaughter and do a bris.
Mila, right? Not bad, right? So, no, Ksav Shkito Mila. What's Ksav? What? So that's a bachlokas. Right, either it's like either that or it's how to write contracts. Okay, but the point is, Talmud Chacham has to be like knowledgeable and how to do certain things. So one is, which I don't care which one you want to choose, like ksav, however you want to learn that. Right, shchita and mila. Okay, Rav Chananya.
Derav.
Anyone know what Berachas Chasanim is? No. Good. Right, good. Okay. That's Berachas Chasanim. Okay. What? Baruch Hashem, look at you. Okay, good, yeah. Go on. Yes, okay. The idachani shchichan, okay? Meaning, why? What does shchiach mean? You're going to get that word a lot in Gemara. What's shchiach? No, not forget. What? Familiar, common. Look at Rashi. Oh, Kinnarik, you're up. Look at Rashi. Hani shchichan? Well, everyone is. Right. Okay, so let's read this carefully. According to Rashi, okay, so first, take a step back. Talmud Chacham has to know certain things, right? If I ask you on the surface, without defining anything, why does he have to know these things? What's important to know them for? Okay, good, okay? He's got certain things people ask him about, Shechita, whatever. Okay, but now you have a funny thing. So the first ones are Ksav Shechita Mila. Fine, okay? What, call him ABC, okay? But then Rashi comes, now the Gemara then says, Rav Hanani comes along, he says, Af, meaning he even has to know X, Y, and Z, right? So it's not enough just to know A, B, and C, he has to know X, Y, and Z as well. Hold on. Now that's strange, because, what's strange about that? Okay, good. Right. In other words, why not have six things? You know what I mean? Talmud Chacham has to know a lot of things. Why not just have six things? What's the first guy's reason why the Talmud Chacham wouldn't have to know the second three? What is he like really against the idea of knowing Kesher Shel Tefillin? Okay. So what does Rashi say though? So Rashi, again, what did Rashi say? Okay, so Rashi wants to say that normally speaking, what do people do? They know it's common to know how to do what? Tain Tzitzis, Birchas Chasanim, right? These things are common. Okay? Okay. So what's the machlokas then? What? See, that's a good question. What do you mean by common?
What?
We have an international polling system. Whenever questions of Shkia come up, just rely on that. Some sort of polling system that we rely on to know what's common. I don't know, it's a good question. Yeah, well, Gallup's bias, you know. We got a Rasmussen for Republicans, Gallup for Democrats, yeah. So keep this Gemara in mind. We're going to come back. We'll see. We're going to come back and explain this Gemara, right? But we're looking at Rashi's way of learning the Gemara, okay? So far, everyone following so far, okay? Now, Tosfos, now going, put your mind back in Tosfos now. Tosfos quotes, remember Rebbe Eliyahu, who says that what do? You have to tie your tefillin every day. So Tosfos says, Rebbe Tamei Farish, you don't need to. Why? Okay, but I'm not that bothered by that, but it's okay. Go on. Okay, now watch this. Perish. Right, meaning what's going to happen? People in the community need to. You're going to be providing these services to people in the community. Okay? Okay, V'ibai. Tvei. Okay, careful. What's he saying there? That's a little tricky, just Aramaic wise. This is the crux of his kasha. Good. Right. So therefore, when Tosos learns the Gemara, how is he learning Shchiach? No. Okay. Close. Keep going. Look how he explains Rashi, and then you're going to come back and see what he's saying. Rashi says, Umiyu b'kuntras, Ipcha. Stop. See? Okay, so again, now, going back to how I read the Gemara in Chulin. I should have brought the board in today. No, shchichan means common, no matter what. But here's the problem. The problem is, they're arguing about which ones are the common ones. Watch. If you... Right. But what's Tosa's question? Tosa's saying that, how can you tell me, okay, that you need to tie your tefillin every single day? I look at this Gemara over here, right? And the Gemara says that a Talmud Chacham has to know three things, right? And then it says, not just these three, but a second guy comes along and says another three, right? And the Gemara's answer is, Hani Shchichan, right? But which ones are the common ones? Tosos is saying that the first three are the common ones. The second three are not common. Because if the Kesher Shel Tefillin were common, right? Again, if you held like Rav Eliyahu, who says you tie your tefillin every single day, what happens to the Kesher Shel Tefillin? It becomes common, and then it will be one of the first, will be four. Okay? Is that clear? In other words, okay. I figured that. Hold on. In other words, we have a problem here. How can you have a debate about what's common? Remember, don't give me historical contextualization. Don't tell me in France it was common in versus Spain. No. How can you have an argument about what's more common? Isn't that a factual question? Okay, so Mati's right. We have to define what common here means. Okay, the term common can have different connotations, right? All right, take a look at the Meiri. The Meiri helps out a lot with this stuff. Look what he says. He says, Tamach Chacham.
No.
He already knows.
Oh, he already knows.
Like foundational things in halacha, right?
Okay. The aim not
what? Mitaksis shalom. Malachos. Okay, what does that mean? Anyone figure out what that meant, by the way?
Close.
I'll give you an example. I'll pick on Kavla for a second. You play drums, right? Okay, so I love Neil Peart from Rush. I listen to Rush all the time because Rush, Rafi, is the greatest band ever. So, that being the case, period, that's true, correct, I'm sorry. So I listen to them all the time, right? Now, in here, right, I appreciate what a great drummer he is. But I don't need to play drums. I don't have to go to the activity of playing drums. I appreciate enough in my mind, okay? A Talmud Chacham, what does he need to know? He has to know Hilchos Shechita. He doesn't have to know the specifics of that knife, meaning how to use the knife, etc. He has to know in here how the halacha works, okay? You know, every Talmud Chacham doesn't have to go through the experience, the experiential aspects of the application of halacha. Exactly, okay? So even though the Talmud Chacham knows the Ikarim, right, and it's not part of his sort of directive that he has to sit there and, you know, get into, on a practical level, how these things work, that doesn't mean he shouldn't know any of it, but at the same time, he doesn't have to constantly do shechita to know how to do shechita. Exactly, okay? Yesh dvarim, nonetheless, okay, there's certain things that what does he have to do? To train, okay? Train. Example, Vahim. Aksiva. Yado. Noe. Edo, stop. That's why I can never be a Talmud Chacham. My handwriting's terrible. Talmud Chacham has to learn how to have nice handwriting, to write his signature in a nice way. What? It's okay, but... That's how I sound my name.
What is that? What is that?
My signature.
No, but I understand, but where are you
getting that? Well, one second. Because you've assumed that a signature requires letters.
Yes, I am.
Right.
I'm trying to identify who
signed it. You know what it is? That's me. That's all you have to know. No one else writes.
Abstract.
It is. That's me.
Okay.
Go on. Right. Keep going. The Hashchita. Good. Right. Shalahem. Well, the actual text. They should know how to say it. Alpet by heart. Okay. Right. Shedvarm. Okay. Here's the key thing. Shedvarm elu. These things. Adam. Okay. Right. Okay. That's the key thing. So in these areas, right? People. What does the average guy do? He runs Talmud Chacham and says, "I don't know how to put on my Kesher Shel Tefillin. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do Shechita, etc." The Talmud Chacham has to be accessible for that. Because if not, what's going to happen? If he doesn't know it, ukusheino yodan. So what's he saying? What does he mean by saying that? Basically, they're gonna look at the Talmud Chacham and be like, He's a bum. All right. In other words, there's a certain respect that the average person has to have for Talmud Chacham insofar as he's knowledgeable on how to do things. If you go to Talmud Chacham and say, "Listen, I need to, you know, can you teach me how to do to shech this animal?" And he doesn't know how to do it. You know what he's going to say? I'm not going to follow. I'm not asking Talmud Chacham anything anymore, right? B, what does this guy know? What makes him so special? He doesn't even know how to do shechita. There's certain areas that it's common for people to come to Talmud Chacham and ask a halakhic advice for that he has to be familiar with. What Zev is trying to say is like this. In other words, there's two ways we can understand the responsibility of Talmud Chacham. Okay? One way you could say is that he's responsible to do what? To put it in Brisker terms, positive, negative. All right? Is it a positive idea where the Talmud Chacham is, he's obligated to provide certain services to the community? Okay? So that's true. He's got to know all six. Okay? Because those are services that the community will most probably need. But what the Meiri was guiding us towards is another possibility, is that it's not that he has to be knowledgeable in all these areas, rather, he just has to ensure, well, that will do what? Right. Right, that's the problem. Exactly. Now, then you can start narrowing, and you could say, maybe only these three. Meaning, there's two possibilities. Either you're going to say that Talmud Chacham, it's a proactive concept. He must be the teacher to, he must be prepared, the knower of things, very good, right? Or no, we just have to make sure that people, if they come into a problem, won't make fun of the Talmud Chacham, okay? If that's true, then you can limit it. You can limit it, it'll be a smaller number. So maybe that's the machlokas. There's two ways you can look at the responsibility Talmud Chacham has to the community as a whole, okay? What? It wasn't so bad. It was bad. Okay. But one second. But how does that help us with Rashi and Tosfos? It doesn't. How do you explain? Yeah, yes. I know. Say it again, Morty. It was beautiful. So there's two ways you can look at Shchiach, okay? Okay? If you go Rashi's way, Rashi's saying what?
Rashi's saying that, what's more common? Commonality is defined as what more people do, right? And more people do tefillin, it's just then brachas and
tzemach. Okay. Yeah, we're gonna pretend, let's put brachas onto the side, because I just don't think that's true.
No, it's tefillin,
let's say tefillin and tzitzis. In other words, tefillin and tzitzis, more people in the population are aware of how to tie tefillin and tzitzis. Okay, the majority of people know how to do it. So they know. Oh, as opposed, that's one way of looking at common. Common is how many people know how to do X. Okay, lots of people know how to do tefillin and what do you call it? And tzitzis. But the other way of looking at common though is to say,
what is more common for the rabbi to get asked?
Meaning what? Because people know how to make tefillin, what's going to happen? They're not going to ask a Talmud Chacham. Don't need to. So the question is, what perspective are we talking about when it comes to Shriach? Are you saying the perspective of the knowledge of how to do the thing? Or are we talking about how often the Talmud Chacham gets asked these questions? Those are two logical ways to look at the term Shriach. Both of them are common, Mati. Both are common. It's just a question of which perspective we're talking about. The ledger of how many questions Talmud Chacham gets in an area,